It's a journey, and it's a journey through life. Obviously, we grow through it as well. Well, obviously, let's begin with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask John Tyler just to pray where you are. John's on the team here. Just pray that God will meet with us tonight, John. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the young men to go ahead, and if you would restrain yourself from looking at it right now, but I'm going to ask them to pass out the little prayer booklets. And there are a lot of pages in this, so don't start looking through it or you won't hear a word I say. So if you don't like the color they're passing out, wave the other person down. There's orange over there. There's purple, yellow. I don't know what kind of color you want, but if color is a big deal to you, don't hesitate to get the color you want. If color is not a big deal, then don't worry about it. Okay. So I'll ask then one of the team members to make sure folks coming in get those. So anybody coming in, got some in the back that will need them. So make sure everybody has their own prayer booklet. And we'll get into that in a moment. I'll ask, if you don't mind, this is going to be the great restraint. But let's not look at them unless we, in the lecture, we refer to them. We will use them in the second half, okay? And I will refer to them, don't get me wrong. But I know that you'll miss some of the things that are important if we're just looking through the prayer booklet. So if you don't have one, raise your hand at this point. Anybody not have one, we want to make sure everybody has one. And that way we're all ready. Anybody need one of the prayer booklets, prayer journals, whatever you want to call them? I don't even know if that we have a name, Hour with God. Now, I'd like to introduce our session. What I'm going to do in the first 45 minutes is just walk through this particular methodology. And really the burden is this, in a moment when we're finished with all this, really the challenge is to do the 21-day challenge. Now, the 21-day challenge is to make a commitment for 21 days to spend an hour with God. We do have a card. And the reason we have a card is I promise you that our team will pray for you every day for 21 days. Somebody on our team will pray for you every day for 21 days if you decide to make that commitment. And I want you to understand, this is just something I have found when I make a 21-day commitment, guess what you do? You do it. Now, I know what you're thinking right now, and maybe I'm on the wrong side of the lecture. You say, preacher, I don't have an hour sitting around waiting for something to happen, okay? I recognize you probably don't have an hour sitting around. But you know what you have to do is you have to evaluate what's less important that I could clear out for 21 days and try the 21-day challenge and to meet with God. Now, I want to make just something that seems it is unrelated for a moment, but I've got to say something. Every time I look in the mirror, I realize I need to tell you this. I have, I told the men this in Sunday school, but I'm on some kind of precancerous skin cell treatment, and I'm putting cream every day on. I finish on Thursday. I cannot wait to finish because it just tears you up. It looks like I've been badly sunburned. It actually is sunburned, but it's chemical sunburned. And it's kind of taken off a couple layers of skin. And I apologize. I realize I don't like looking at me in the mirror. I'm not even sure my wife likes looking at me at these time moments. So it's just one of those moments. I'm not too self-conscious about it, but I do want to at least mention it. I do not have leprosy. I want you to know that. Otherwise, I feel like saying unclean, unclean. Okay. So I wanted to be aware of what it is. It's kind of a weird chemical. You put it on, it burns, and it just feels weird. It's not highly painful. It just is kind of more of a discomfort, but so I wanted to make sure I forgot to mention in the morning service, so my wife really urged me to let you folks know what was going on. Okay, so I've done that. Okay, so what I'd like us to do here at the very outset, one of the keys to an hour with God is really to meet with God. It's the presence of God. Now, the presence of God is what I would call a spiritual reality. Let me just stop for a moment and say this. If I were to ask you right now, is God in this room? Your answer would be yes. There's a theological aspect. In fact, I sing the mighty power of God. And those last words, the first stanza is, everywhere that God can be, everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there. So we certainly know the Lord is here. There's two kinds of realities. Number one, we know God is here theologically. But the question I would have for you, Are there times in your life when you know God is there experientially? Now, I hate to use the word experience because experiences can be false. There are deceptive experiences, no doubt about it. And certainly with some of the modern day theologies that it seemed to lend toward that, we sometimes get a little nervous about the word experience. But what I'm talking about is a spiritual reality. That was my phone, of course, of all people. That's the preacher's phone goes off. I was preaching at a graduation. These guys, some of these guys at our Bible college can tell you, I was preaching at which at our place is like majorly formal. I mean, the full 9 yards. And my phone went off, and I'm telling you, I thought I was going to get fired. That's the problem of being vice president. There's somebody who can fire you. Okay. But anyway, I made it through. Okay. So I kind of known to keeping that phone, putting that phone not on silence and then have trouble. But the presence of God is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality. And I believe the key to spending extended time with God is to meet with God in a very spiritually real way. So I'd like to start with a video with just some testimonies of people who spent the hour with God. I've got some Northerners on there, but I wanted you to know we put somebody from the South on there. You'll be able to tell by the accent. And they're just going to give testimonies of what God did. It's about a 3-minute, 4-minute video, and I hope it'll encourage your heart as we get into this material.
God has did a wonderful work in my heart, and I think it all started with the Bended Knee Conference when the emphasis was on so much prayer and how that we need to spend more time with God in prayer. And I took that challenge, and I've been doing my hour, and it's almost becoming like a second nature to me. I don't have to worry about when I'm going to do it. I just know I'm going to do it because I want to meet with God. It has been so revolutionary in my life having the hour.
What Dr. Ingram has asked the deacons to do is to commit to praying for 1 hour. I got up to about 46 minutes or 47 minutes. I thought, boy, I'm doing pretty good. One day I got to 51 minutes. But I just never could seem to get to the hour. And then about the 5th or 6th, maybe 7th day, right in there somewhere, I had a very special prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. I began to do the same thing I had done for days before, trying to pray for an hour. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Ingram, an hour wasn't nowhere near long enough. Yes. I couldn't get through. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed communing with God, yes, spending time with God.
So that after just even the first hour, I knew that my prayer life had changed forever. I knew that I had spent time with my God like I never had before.
Preacher, that day changed my life. And I'm 68 years old. I've been a Christian for 50 years. That day changed my life. It changed me on the inside, preacher. Mm-hmm. And now, I can't hardly wait.
Yeah, amen.
I get through my hour for today, and I think, oh boy, I can hardly wait for tomorrow for my other hour.
I've been saved for 40 years, over 40 years, and this is like a renewal for me. As you get older, you think things die down, but my love for Him is even stronger now than it was when I first accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it's like I reconnected with Him just going through this hour of prayer.
I thought, well, I don't want to do it for a few days and burn out. Dr. Ingram, it's not burning out. It's getting brighter and brighter. Amen. Dr. Ingram, I don't have to look at my watch anymore. I don't have to look at the book. I just know I want to spend at least an hour praying, spending my time with God.
Like during that hour of prayer, He burdens me for specific people and things I need to share with them. And I know that never happened before because I never took the time to listen when I was praying.
It's a two-way street.
Yes, it is.
I'm not talking to the wall or to the ceiling. I feel like I have entered the throne room of God.
Yes.
God said, come on in. Mm-hmm. And then I get through to the hour of prayer and I get my Bible and I start reading my Bible. And Dr. Ingham, I have a thirst and a longing to read those words that I have never had in my life. I would challenge every man in this building to start praying for at least an hour a day.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I will absolutely, positively guarantee you, it will change your
yes.
life.
Yes, it will.
Well, amen. I trust that it encouraged your heart and stirred your heart about what we're trying to talk about here in these moments is really spending time with God. So I want you to understand, don't get hung up on the check and the list. You know what is easy in the Christian life is to get into a checking the list. Have you ever done that? I've read my two chapters. I have prayed my 10 minutes, and we are list checkers. I tell young people at our Bible college, really, you can have your devotions and not meet with God. But if you seek God, you'll have your devotions. So really what we are talking about is seeking God. Do you know what God tells us if we seek Him? Do you know what He promises if you'll seek Him? He said, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. So what we are talking about is a pursuit of God. We are talking about, how do I say this, pursuing the manifestation of His presence, which is, again, a spiritual reality. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so where you connect with God is in the spiritual realm. One of the problems with the culture in which we live is that it is extremely sensory. Our culture lives to communicate to five senses. Have you ever noticed that? And particularly in the modern era. I could talk about this for a long time, but just think about taste. You know, when I was growing up, we just had potato chips. Now, have you ever thought about the flavor of potato chips? I saw chicken and waffles the other day. Chicken and waffle potato chips. And then I saw beer-battered fish or something like that. I'm thinking, I can't even buy that. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? That one won't work. Okay, you know, the point is, that's crazy. But we live in a day that is constantly catering to the five senses. Go to an amusement park and all the dark rides and the virtual reality. It's just amazing. Our world caters to the sensory. Why? That's where they believe reality is. But the Bible says everything you can see is what? Temporal. But everything you can't see is eternal. So before you and I got saved, our spirit was dead. But when we got saved, guess what happened? We were regenerated. We were born again. We were born of the Spirit. And that part of us is where the Lord Jesus manifests His presence. That's where He meets with us. That's where we worship Him. That's where we fellowship with Him. So what we're talking about is 1 John chapter number 1, fellowship with God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about John 15, abiding in the vine. We're talking Galatians 5, walking in the Spirit. All of those are pictures of the same dynamic we're talking about, and that is meeting with God and knowing we've met with God. So an hour with God is what? A pursuit. Back when I was a college student, somebody handed me a little paperback by A.W. Tozer. Maybe you've heard the name of it. What's that? I'll point in a minute. We're just kind of still in an induction. No problem. Thank you for mentioning that. We'll get there in a minute. Okay. Oh, you've got the clicker. I'll use it. Yeah. I will use the clicker when the time comes. Okay, thank you very much. But there's a little book by A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God. I remember reading that, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think I understood 90% of it. But I remember reading it, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know what this guy's talking about, but I think whatever he's talking about, that's what I need. And I will say my freshman year of college, I began The Pursuit of God. I have lived it very imperfectly, but it's probably one of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my life other than getting saved. Because The Pursuit of God, God promises if you seek Me, you will find Me. Now, I want you to understand something about what we're talking about here because it's very important. This is very important introductory material because God is predictable. You know the verse, draw nigh to God and draw nigh to you. Back when I was a kid, my mother used to take me shopping. How many of you men would admit that your mother did drag you around shopping when you were a little kid and could not, you had no say in the deal? Okay, so she would take me to her favorite department store. It was a department store by the name of Montgomery Ward. Some of you haven't heard of Montgomery Ward for decades. You know what I'm talking about? Montgomery Ward. She'd take me to Montgomery Ward. But you know, I bored out of my mind, and I couldn't wait till Mom was done. But that's not my cell phone. But I remember that as a kid, one of the things I would do is play with the mirrors. You know, they used to have those big mirrors, you know, lined on the walls because people would buy things, you know, go try them out and come and use them. And you know what I learned about those mirrors that's going to shock you? If I took a step toward the mirror, the guy in the mirror took a step toward me. Aren't you glad you came tonight? I took two steps. Guess what? The guy in the mirror took two steps toward me. Now, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but God is more predictable than the image in the mirror. See, what we are talking about is the pursuit of God. We're talking about if you draw unto God, He will draw unto you. As I mentioned, I'm a Baptist College Ministry, small Bible college up in Wisconsin. I've served there as vice president now for 20 years. And a few years back when we started this prayer emphasis, there was a young lady in the student body about a senior in college at the time. And I had a concern spiritually for her, not that she was terrible, but she just seemed to be sad all the time. Long story, I knew a little bit about the backgrounds, so had a little bit of understanding some of the dynamics. But anyway, long story, we had that emphasis on our with God, and I came back like I'm now out, and I came back in May. So I'll be back in about a month. And when I came back in May, it was the final chapel, and I noticed that we had a wonderful chapel service. It's Testimony Chapel, our final chapel is. And then this young, we started to sing, and I remember looking at this young lady while we were standing singing a song about prayer. It was like she was looking through the roof, like the roof wasn't even there. It was like she was looking into heaven. And I saw a glow on her face I had never seen in her life, ever. And there were tears coming down her cheeks. Later in the day, I stopped her and I called her name and I said, "What happened to you?" In fact, I teased her a little bit. I said, "Did somebody abduct you and you're an imposter? Okay, where are you?" You know? And I was teasing with her and she smiled at me a little bit sheepishly and she said, "Well," she said, "I was miserable." Well, that was obvious. She said, "I was miserable." She said, "I saw all these students having an hour with God," and she decided, "You know what, if it kills me, I'm going to do it." And I guess for a few days it did kill her. Kind of like our testimony of the deacon there in Atlanta area. It did kill her. But she said, "I don't know where it was." She said, "Fourth, fifth, sixth day." She said, "Somewhere in there, I was having my hour with God." I'll never forget the look on her face because there was an awe and a wonder to it. And she said, "All of a sudden, I realized that He was there." What was she talking about? The revelation, the manifestation of God's presence. And in the Old Testament, God uses the imagery of His face. Today, Psalm 80 was the psalm I read, and I'll probably use it in our Bible reading here in our hour in just a moment. But it says, it's a request, "Cause thy face to shine upon us." That's what it's talking about. See, in the Old Testament, the imagery God would use about His face is the manifestation of His presence. See, I can look out here and see people's faces. You know what that means? You're in my presence. And before technology, the only way you could see somebody's face is to be in their presence. See, that's where technology messes with our understanding of the Bible. So in the Old Testament, when talking about God's face, it's talking about the manifestation of his presence. It's imagery. You know what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:11? "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face." Is anybody the next word? "Continually." It is right for us to desire the presence of God. It's right for us to. It's right for us to seek His face. So understanding that, let's go ahead and let's dive right in to our first section. Now, if you want to open up your notebooks now, you'll notice it says, "Hour with God." And we'll just, that first page there, page number one, we're just going to walk through this real quickly. We're going to do 5 minutes of praise. Now, let me just simply say, for the 21 days, if you decide to take the 21-day challenge, let me really urge you to do it by the book for 21 days. And then after 21 days, adapt it to you. Okay, people do adapt it. But I encourage you to just to do it, because sometimes the very things you struggle with, you might kind of minimize, and you actually need a development of that area. So I would encourage you to do that. But the 5 minutes of praise, then 5 minutes of waiting on the Lord. We're going to go through that. 5 minutes of confession. Notice that confession is not first. And then 5 minutes of spiritual warfare. 5 minutes of claiming promises, 15 minutes of petitions and intercession. That's what we largely think of when we think of the word prayer. 3 minutes of thanksgiving. Of course, any of this can be elongated. Then 10 minutes of Bible reading and journaling, and we'll talk about that when that time comes. And then 5 minutes of listening and memory verses. Listening is what you heard that one lady refer to. And she said, "What I began to realize is every day God began, in that listening time, began to give me an understanding of what He wanted me to do that day. People He wanted me to text, people He wanted me to call, three opportunities He wanted me to pursue." And she said, "I never had that in my life before." That's what she was talking about right there. And then singing, of course, concludes it. And that is the final 2 minutes. Now, some people, again, there are different ways to do this. There are different times. This is something that, good people have kind of changed a few things up on things. And so this is just kind of something to give us something to to give us some structure. Because sometimes you're thinking, what am I going to do if I sit down for an hour? Well, you notice it was in bite-sized pieces. Did you see that? Okay, so let's go now, and let's kind of spend some time now going through them individually. So now you can turn your page, and let's go to praise and worship, which is page number 3, praise and worship. Now, if you'll notice, if you have the praise and worship section, you'll notice there are quite a few pages. So understand, this is not designed just for this time. It's designed, literally, you could probably use it for years. Because once you will go through it, you'd want to restart and come back and maybe add a few things that you find on your own. But praise and worship obviously is going to be a very important part of it. Why is it so important? Notice, if you would please, Psalm 110. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Psalm 100 deals with coming into the Lord's presence and this very important part. Praise, thanksgiving, a very important part of it. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And so that is, let me get my own PowerPoint caught up here, but that's very important. Then it's go to choose a couple of aspects on which to focus. So this day you could go through and pick a couple of characteristics and begin to praise the Lord for those, think about those, meditate on them, and begin to meditate on those verses and focus on one or two characteristics. And then thank the Lord for that attribute and how it affects your life. This is really where you begin. How do I say this? This is a very important about entering into his presence. Praise and thanksgiving is a very important part. And there are many different more passages than this, but this gets you started, and there's plenty in here to help you get started. Then, let me see, work on a relationship with the Lord. Let me get this here. I've got these aren't coordinated, so I'm kind of working together here. Work on a relationship with the Lord where you love him for who he is instead of just what he does for you. This is a time just to love the Lord and thank him for the characteristic or two that you are meditating on, and to meditate on that, think about it, particular aspects. If you're talking about the fatherhood of God, thinking about that. If you're thinking about the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, begin to meditate on what he provides. If he's the God who heals, think about the fact he doesn't just heal us physically. He feels the wounds, the emotional wounds, the problems that we have had, some of the baggage we've carried into adulthood from our childhood, that God is the one who heals. You see, the list goes on and on. Think about how that characteristic intersects with your life. This is relationship where you begin to praise God and thank him, begin to worship him for who he is. Very important part, because what we're talking about here is entering into his presence. And then, next of all, it is waiting on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord is a very interesting concept. It's found all throughout the Bible. Wait on the Lord and he shall strengthen thine heart. Waiting on the Lord is the idea of inculcating an attitude of dependence. It's inculcating an attitude of dependence. So the idea, obviously, be silent before him, because the point is we're drawing our soul out unto God. Be still and know that I am God. See, when you know God, you know he's God, you cannot help but draw your soul to the fact, God, I need you. And it's really that development, and because dependence is such an important part of spending time with God. So be silent before him. Commit yourself to him afresh. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So this is obviously a time of surrender as well. God, I surrender you. I want your will. I'm depending on you. Now, it's important to understand dependence and surrender are, you can't have one without the other. You can't surrender without dependence. And you can't truly depend without surrendering. See, both are important. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, you need to surrender and depend. And the truth is that's true. But they're not two separate steps. They're interrelated. You can't do one without the other. So could we put it this way? Surrender is, God, I want your will, not mine. I put it this way, it's 0% my will, 100% your will. Dependence is 0% dependence on my strength because I don't have spiritual strength, and 100% dependence on your spiritual strength because you have all I need. I have a brother that uses the illustration of a boat with two oars. So I want to ask you a question. What happens when you get in a boat and you only use one oar on one side of the boat? And the answer is? You go in circles. See, some of you have done it. You were too quick on that one. Okay, you know how it is. You go like this. Or you go like this. okay, depending on which oar is in the water. Just a few weeks ago, I decided to kayak the Weekiwachee. How many of you have ever heard of the Weekiwachee? Okay, it's one of those clear Florida streams, 72 degrees, and it's clear as it can be, and manatees swim underneath you. So it's a really cool thing. But I am not a good kayaker because I was doing zigzags up the river. I couldn't get the thing going. Okay, I wasn't experienced enough to know how to do this on both sides. So we all know what happens. You put the paddle in on one side, you begin to go the other direction. You begin to kind of go in circles. Now think about this. If you say, God, I'm totally dependent on you to do your, I'm totally surrendered to you. Whatever your will is, I want. And God, I'm going to try as hard as I can to do it. Guess what happens? You'll do this. Because you're surrendered, but you think you're surrendered, but you're not dependent, which just means you're really not surrendered. On the other hand, if you go to the other side and say, now, God, I've got really good plans, really good plans. Now, God, I'm going to depend on you to get my will done. You're going to go on this side because that's really not dependence. See, surrender and dependence are very important, and that's where waiting on the Lord is really inculcating an attitude of surrender dependence. Does that make sense? So this is this moment we wait before the Lord, we commit ourselves to Him, we appreciate Him as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Meditate on the fact that He is your Father, that who Jesus Christ is, your Savior, the Son, God the Spirit, He's the enabler. Think about who those characteristics are. And if you look at your notes, you go now, I could have you, if you haven't already been there, go to page 13. And there's several different characteristics about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Okay, so helps us in our dependence and our being silent before Him. We're waiting on the Lord. We're asking God to work in our hearts, bring us to full surrender, full dependence. So there, that is right there. Okay, next, confession of sin. Confession of sin. Now, if you want to turn in your book here, because there's going to be some helpful tools here. Of course, ask God to search your heart. And then, okay, I'm sorry, missed that one there. Ask God to search your heart and to reveal to you your sins. Search me, O God. And then confess and forsake your sins by name, admitting that you were wrong. Now remember, confession is, how do I say this? Confession is walking into the courtroom of heaven, taking the stand and saying, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Confession